Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 13. I was questioning if I was going to read that part, but we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 13, and we're going to read through 16. When you have it, please say amen, loud and proud. Amen. All right, and it reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The word of God for the people of God. I want to come to you today, and I'm going to pray one more time over this message, but I want to come to you today from the sermon titled, "Forgive Anyway, Shining Without Conditions." Shining without conditions, forgiving anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we thank you, Lord, that you give us everything that we need, Lord God, in order to be here on today. God, you woke us up this morning. You allowed us to get here or to be online. We just thank you for all the different ways that we get to view your message, your true word, Lord God. And so, God, on today, I just pray that you would move me out of the way, oh God, and that you would allow your words to come forth through me as a vessel, Lord, that I would not be in this at all, Lord, but it would come directly from you, Jesus. And so, God, we thank you so much for the word that you're about to bring forth. We honor you in it. We lift up your holy and righteous name. It is in your son, Jesus' name, that we pray these things. Amen. All right, so forgive anyway, shining without conditions. Has anyone ever struggled with forgiveness? Whether it was to forgive someone else, to forgive yourself, God maybe, God allowed something to happen and you got mad at God, you got angry with the Lord. It happens, right? So I'm glad that I'm not the only one in the room that has struggled with this. Interestingly enough, I used to forgive pretty easily back in the day, like 20 years ago. I used to forgive a lot, like really fast. And people would be like, "How did you forgive that person that fast?" And I would always point glory to the Lord, right? And so as I've gotten older, I don't know if it's like I process things a little slower. I have to pay attention to what happened and how that person treated me and all of those different things. And so now it's like I take time to forgive. And so the Lord has been stretching me these past couple of months. And he has allowed me to be tested in forgiveness. And to be honest, you know, we as ministers, we go through things probably 10 times worse than y'all sometimes because we're responsible to share this word, right? And so I had to really slow down a few times to really like understand what God was teaching me in these moments. And so what does it really mean to forgive? According to Strong's, which is our Greek dictionary, in the Greek, forgive means to lay aside, to leave alone, to let go, or to omit, right? And so omitting means I blot that out. It never happened. It's gone. And so as I was studying, I was like, okay, Jesus, you've got to take me down a long road here, right? So again, with these last couple of months, just these ongoing tests, I've had to remember all the things that he forgave me for and how each and every day I have my own moments of shortcomings where I have to be sure to forgive the Lord Jesus or forgive myself, right? And to ask for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we get into talking about forgiveness and what it means to forgive anyway, despite the condition, despite the situation, it's our responsibility as Christians and believers. And so God, in the midst of all of this, literally told me, "You need to forgive, but you also need to be the light." And I was like, okay, Lord, all right, what do you want me to do, right? So let's go to verse 14 where it reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." So let's talk about light and the definition of light. In Genesis 1:3 is where he first created light. He said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And it's defined as happiness, bright, the sun, the morning, and the day. It is what we see here today and here that is light, right? Light is true. And so when I say that God literally told me, he literally told me to be the light, I want to kind of talk about this challenge that I've been doing for the past, I don't know how many days, I don't know what day we're on, I can't remember today, but it's been a 40-40 challenge, 40 days with Jesus, walking with him and reading through the word. My mother-in-law is doing it with me as well. And we're walking through the book of John, okay? And so during this time is when all the tests come. When you're trying to do something for the Lord, you're trying to get closer to him, you're reading your word every day, you're walking with him, you're praying each and every day. Guess what? The devil's going to come and he's going to attack, right? And so in the midst of all these tests that I've been going through in the last couple of weeks, in the last couple of months, God has been sending me the light. He's allowed others to be the light for me, right? In the midst of my darkness. And so what happened is a couple of weeks ago on April 26th, I had to go to a first aid training. And when I tell you, I pull up into the parking spot and there's this white car next to me. I see that it has a lot of writings on it, but I'm not paying attention to what it says. And so I run in there because I'm running late, got my coffee because I'm exhausted. I'm like, okay, I got to get in there. And then they were late. And so I said, okay, well, let me run to my car and just sit in my car for a little bit. As I go back to my car, this little compact white car has scriptures all over it. And it literally has, I think like one of them says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Revelation 21:6. Then another one said, Jesus Christ is always the same today and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And then it said, Jesus sees you. You are chosen. Along with all of these little scriptures all around the car. I can show y'all, I took a picture. And so there's scriptures everywhere. And all of it, all it says is a girl who loves Jesus on there. And so I sat there and I said, she's the light. Any car that pulls up next to her and parks next to her, they are not going to be able to avoid seeing this light, Jesus Christ. So without her even saying a word, she is being the light, right? And so she has scripture all over it. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. I needed that, right? So then, kid you not, 5 days later, May 1st, I'm driving to work. I drive to work in the darkness because I get up at 5 o'clock and I leave at 5:30, okay? I'm driving and I'm behind this pickup truck, all right? And I see a little writing on the back of the truck. And guess what it says? There's a scripture. And it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of all my enemies. Psalm 23. That light was for me because I had a rough day the day before. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm doing something right. I'm praying. I'm seeking you. I'm trying to find you. That was the light for me. I needed something to keep me pushing and to keep me going. Even in the midst of my own worship, even in the midst of my own prayer, this person, without even knowing who I am, was the light. And so, last and certainly not least, I'm driving to another work event late at night. I get home. I live really far. I think I've told y'all that. But I'm going back to work on this evening. Coming from my parents' house, and there's this great big 18-wheeler that's kind of behind me, right? Like, I'm in this lane, he's in the lane next to me, but he's behind me. And I can see kind of in the back, and I'm like, okay. And I'm talking to the Lord at this time about this situation that I'm dealing with, and I'm like, Lord, how do I be the light with this person? You know, like, this is a lot. And, you know, there are some people that kind of try to make you mess up. You know, they try to get in your way. And this was one of those people. And I was like, okay, Lord, this person's trying to build this wedge here and there and here and here and here. Like, what do you want me to do? On the top of the 18-wheeler, it said, God is love. Okay? God is love, right? So I'm like, okay, Lord. Then through traffic, the truck comes up and it catches up to me. And on the side of it, it literally says Matthew 5:16, be the light. And I said, well, goodness. So don't tell me that God does not speak to us, because he speaks to us. We have to be in the spirit. We have to be listening. Our ears have to be open. Our eyes have to be open. And every day I anoint myself to hear and see God in the spirit. So he said, be the light. And so I said, oh Lord, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna be the light. And so through all of this, I want you to know that the light always has eyes on them, right? You can't avoid the light. And so if you're a person, and I'm referring to us, therefore the light, which is us, has many eyes on us, on who we are in, as Christians. There's always people that are being drawn to you. And you're probably questioning, like, why do people gravitate to me so much? It's because of him, right? And so with that being said, fortunately, some people admire the light. They commend the light. They love the light. And they study the light to imitate the light. But then there are those who envy the light, who hate the light, and who study them to trip them up. Okay? And so you have to be extremely careful and discerning and knowing who's trying to study you to imitate him and who's trying to study you to bring you down. That's very important. So here's my second point, is to forgiveness is light in a world of darkness. So we're going to go to verse 15. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So we are called to illuminate and give light to the others. And so I want to tell you a situation that occurred during my time of test. This is just one of them. And it's very hard for me to talk about because I got a little pride, okay? And so the Lord is working on me with my pride, my ego, and all the things. But I'm learning humility, servitude, all of those things in every situation, no matter what it looks like. And so we had an event at my job, and I work at a school, and so our students had t-shirts that they needed to leave at the school because we had field day coming up, and we wanted them to wear the shirts at field day. Kids don't always bring their shirts back, and so it's better for us to keep them. And one of my staff was going out to tell a parent, hey, like, we need that shirt, we need those shirts back. And so I kind of could see that something was about to happen, so I was like, let me just go out there for support. So staff person walks away, and she's like, forget those shirts. And I go out, and it's a grandmother. She's on a cane. She's an older lady. And I was like, I am so sorry, ma'am. I know this is so inconvenient, but we need the shirts back. And she starts yelling and cussing and going crazy. And she threw the shirts in my face. Like, boom, boom. And I was like, wait a minute. Right? Wait a minute. And I was like, okay, I was like, God bless you. Have a blessed night. Thank you so much. See you later. You know, and that was like the first thing that came out of my mouth. That is not the first thing that I thought. And so, you know, I was like, Lord, help me, Jesus. And I work at a private school, Christian private school. Okay. And so that was a very difficult test that I had to pass. But God, that was the last test that I had to pass. And praise the Lord that I passed it, because I probably would have lost my job. But I am saying that all to say, she didn't say she was sorry. She didn't care. She was like, I'm sick of y'all. I don't care. And I said, okay. I said, well, God bless you. We're going to pray for you. And the next time I see her, I can't wait to give her a big hug. You know, because at the end of the day, if I am purposed to be who Jesus wants me to be and to be that light, I have to give her something that she's not expecting. And she wouldn't expect me to come and give her a hug and say, hey, how are you? You know, and talk to her about it. But that's what I have to do, right? So we have to forgive without apology. We have to forgive without conversation, because it's our duty to the Lord. Okay. All right. And then there were other instances that were extremely, extremely bad. But understand, we can't put our lights under a bushel just for 2 minutes. 2 minutes of our own pride, like settling in our own pride. And they're like, do you know who I am? You don't throw shirts. I could have done all that. but it's not worth it, right? And so I was on my way home, and I was quiet. And I called my dad, and I was like, Dad, like, you'll never forget what happened, you know, or you'll never know, you know, understand what happened. So I told him what happened. And this is something that I used to tell myself when I used to forgive easily. He said, Tierra, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I said, amen, Daddy, because I used to always say that every single time harm was done to me, I would forgive quickly. And that would be what I said. This was during Holy Week. It was the Thursday on the Last Supper, right before Good Friday. So it was all these different things. And so I knew that God was intricately doing something in my heart and in my mind, right? And so we have to forgive, we have to let it go, and we have to move forward. And so Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So there's no other rhyme or reason but to do it because he said so, because he told us to and he commands us to. It's our duty. It is our responsibility. And we will be held accountable on judgment day when he decides which way we go. And so it's a very serious matter. And understand, the light does not argue with the darkness. When Satan came to tempt Jesus during his fast, did Jesus argue with him? No. He said, for it is written, and he gave him all scripture. And so I know that that's what God was teaching me in that moment. And I hope that he will teach you as well in yours. And so the next verse, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Forgiveness is bold. It's a visible act of faith, and it's like a light that burns like fire. It's hot. The Bible says you cannot be lukewarm. You have to be either hot or cold. And so if we're hot and we're burning, we're light. If we're cold, we're not where we need to be. If we're lukewarm, we're straddling the fence. We want to be over here, but then you want to be over here. You got to pick a way, either hot or cold. And so without that bushel, because you don't, when we have a lamp on and it's dark in a room, it lightens the space, right? It allows us to be able to see. Anyone ever walked in the darkness when it was completely dark in your house and you might have bumped your knee or, you know, hit the bed or something like that? You can't see in the dark. And so you have to have that light. And so if we're light, that light is contagious and it'll spread throughout the room. All right. And so we represent a God that provides light for all of us that were in darkness, because we were in our own darkness. We may still, some of us, be in darkness right now. We may have moments and times where we're in darkness. I felt like I was in darkness during this time because it was test after test after test. And the first two tests, I passed it publicly, but I failed it privately. And privately, I was upset. I was mad. I was angry. But who am I to be angry with people who may not understand? So let me do something different and show them a God that's inside of me that can heal whatever it is they're dealing with so that they can then come on to the other side as well. And so if they hurt you, you got to forgive anyway. If they broke you, you've got to love them anyway. If they made you feel like you went into darkness, you got to shine anyway. And if they wrongfully accused you, you got to forgive anyway. John 8 through 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So like many of you, I had to forgive individuals who never apologized. I had to forgive situations that I didn't really want to forgive. And unfortunately, I had to learn this at a very young age. And so I used to share all the time. I don't really share much anymore. But when I was in seventh grade, I was sexually assaulted by two of my peers. I was a tomboy. I loved playing basketball and hanging out. And I asked my dad, could I go over to my friend's house and play? And he said it was fine as long as the dad was there. At the time, dad was there. Dad gets up. He's like, hey, I'm going to run to the store real quick. And you hear that small little voice where you're like, oh, you better go. And I didn't listen to that voice the first time. When I tried to go the second time, they, you know, took me and did what they did. And so I had to forgive at age 12. And it took me down a road to destruction. I became a cutter. I tried to commit suicide when I was 15. And thankfully, praise God, my mom, you know, saved my life. And so I'm saying this all to say, there are times when people will hurt you. You don't know what happened to them before. But we have to have that heart and posture to forgive. To forgive them anyway and to love them, because at the end of the day, they're all God's children. And I will also add that that situation didn't kill me. It didn't break me. It birthed something in me. It birthed purpose in me. And so what the devil didn't realize is that because he couldn't kill me, because he couldn't do those things, I had the hand of the Lord on my life. And so when I turned 23 years old, I took a job at a middle school where I got to pour into young girls and young boys. And the first time I told my story, 6 girls raised their hand and said, me too. And guess what? I encouraged them to tell someone. Most of them had already done so. But at the end of the day, that was a seed to help them heal and to grow and to become what they wanted to be. And they said, at the time I was Miss Miles, Miss Miles, you don't look like what you've been through. And I said, praise the Lord, I don't, right? And so it was so good, because then time after time, year after year, since 2015, for 15 years, I have poured into young girls, poured into young boys, and I have poured into adult individuals that have dealt with the same situation and have been able to grow and do the things that they need to do for the Lord. But the first thing that I've done in my sessions is we forgive. We forgive self for not saying anything. And then we forgive the people that harmed us. Then we take it to the Lord. We repent for our mindset, right? And we heal. And so God has used that in such a mighty way. Something that was designed to hurt me, something that was designed to kill me, it allowed me to be, my purpose to be birthed in it. And so we have to forgive anyway, no matter what. And so as I've been going through this journey of these last few months where my forgiveness or my heart has been tested, I've been tested in that part of forgiveness. God reminded me of how I used to forgive so quickly. And I didn't hold people to a point where, I gotta stay away from you. You know, you ain't got, and I started doing that, separating myself. But God said, no, close the gap. Come back. Be the light. And I remember when I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with this? A friend of mine said, you do what you do best. You be what God called you to be and allow your light to shine. That person didn't know I was preaching about this. And so God spoke through my friend to confirm what I was going to bring to each and every one of you. And so God speaks and he's specific, but we have to be in tune with him to hear him clearly. What if I wasn't in tune? What if I wasn't praying? What if I wasn't worshiping him daily and I didn't hear this word, right? It wouldn't have been able to come forth. And so it's very important that we have that. And I don't know, this is not my sermon, but I don't know why I'm saying that, but we have to be aligned with the Lord. We have to be in prayer. Prayer is a love language. And so what do? We pray for those who harm us. We pray for those who they may not even understand, right? But how many of us have done many things that we've had to go to God and ask for forgiveness? But we thank God that he sent his son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And so everything that I've struggled with, everything that you all have struggled with, that we've struggled with, Jesus died for it. It's already done. And so we don't have to keep going back and forth. We don't have to keep saying, oh, Lord, you remember that thing I did 10 years ago? I need you to forgive me again. I don't know if you really forgave me. When he forgives, it goes into the sea of forgetfulness. It's gone. And so we have to be able to imitate that. And it is hard because our feelings get wrapped up in it. Our emotions get wrapped up in it. We have anger, sadness, all these different things. But at the end of the day, in our spiritual maturity, we have to grow up. And we got to say, you know what, Lord? I give this to you. And it's not easy, y'all. It's not easy. And it doesn't mean that what that person did doesn't matter. It does not mean that, you know, Jesus is like, whatever, like, you good. Vengeance is his. God can do whatever he needs to do. And I promise you, I have seen it come forth. And I praise the Lord that I didn't have to have my hand in that. And so we don't need to be vengeful. We just need to surrender our hearts and our minds to the Lord. And we need to walk in whatever he called us to. And so at the end of the day, y'all, at the end of the day, forgive anyway, so that your light can shine and you can point to Jesus. Because they'll always ask, when we do something different than what's expected from society, they'll be like, man, like, why did you do that? Oh, because I serve the Lord. That's the first thing I say. I report to Jesus. I don't report to nobody else. He is the first person I report to. And so he's going to hold me accountable. What I do here is temporary. But when I get to that day where he says, did you do what I told you to do? I'm going to say, absolutely, yes, sir. So forgive anyway and make sure that we shine without conditions. All right? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Jesus, for this word. God, I pray that the hearts received it, Lord God, and I pray that not only did they receive it, Lord, but that they would be able to pass it on to somebody else, Lord, and that we would be able to learn what it really truly means to forgive ourselves, to forgive those who have done harm to us, Lord God, and even misconstruing when you allow things to happen, God, that we would even forgive you, Lord. And so, God, we thank you in advance for all that you're doing. We thank you in advance for just who you are and what you have done in our lives. And if you did nothing else, God, that it would be satisfied, Lord. So, God, we love you. We thank you and we honor you. And we lift up your holy and righteous name. And we pray that you would help us to shine in the way that you do.
Don't let this moment pass. Every wrongdoing done to you, every hurt and pain that you've harbored in your heart, don't let this moment pass. Don't let this moment pass. Let it go. Give it to God now. God, we just thank you. We let go of every wrong thing done to us in our lives. God, we forgive every person who has harmed us knowingly and unknowingly. We don't forgive them for them. We forgive them because you forgave us. And for our souls, God, to be cleansed by your righteousness. You had the strength to die on the cross for our sins. Let us die right now in this moment for the sins of those that hurt us. Let us let go of that pain. Help us to heal, God, in this moment. Help us to heal. Help us to see that it's not worth it anymore. We want to move forward. We want to look more like Jesus every single day. So in this moment, we let go of the pain. We let go of the hurt. We let go of the bitterness. We let go of the damage unforgiveness has done to our bodies. And we give it to you right now. God, it's not by our will, but it's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the power that you do that's working in us, God. And we know that you are mighty. You are mighty. And by your mighty move, we can do this now. So at this moment, everyone in this room, everyone that's watching by webcast, let it go. Forgive anyway. Be that shining light that shines unconditionally, as Jesus has been the shining light in your life, forgiving you and shining bright unconditionally, without condition. We thank you, God, for being a Father that loves us without condition, that loves us by simply giving you a yes. So we give you a yes in obedience and forgiveness today. We give you a yes. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. That was an on-time word, and I hope everyone here enjoyed it. Give her a round of applause because that was awesome. God is doing the work. Amen. We want to thank our online audience for joining us. And whoever this is for, if you've been watching online for a while and you can come here, it's time for you to visit. It's time for you to come in. Okay? That was for you. And if you haven't already given, please give, because when you give to this ministry, it's just to get the gospel out. It's not to load no money into our pastor's pockets. It's just to get the gospel out. And everybody needs Jesus. So we want to thank you for coming out and fellowshipping with us. And thank you for all the first-time visitors that are here. And God bless you. And we are dismissed. Have a blessed day.